talking about hate crime, first of all. More than 8 hate crimes were reported every day last year. Every day. 8 a day. And that's just the number being reported. The Criminal Justice Inspection Northern Ireland have published the statistics, saying they show we're failing as a society. Brendan McGuigan, Chief Inspector of Criminal Justice in Northern Ireland, joins us now. Brendan, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
These are very sad figures. I was going through some of the reasons that people may be targeted, and they are the predictable ones: your religious belief, your ethnic background, your sexuality, whether or not you're disabled, your gender. What is it about society in Northern Ireland that we seem to have lost our way?
Well, you know, could I say first off that every hate crime occurring in Northern Ireland is a failure for our society. It really is awful. And if we take those number of incidents, those could easily be multiplied by 10. For a significant number aren't being reported. And that is really sad. There's a significant amount of underreporting in every jurisdiction in these islands. In the Republic of Ireland, they reckon that they're only getting 1 out of 6 hate crimes reported. In England and Wales, they would say that it's something similar. So, you know, applying that in the Northern Ireland context, together with our existing issues around sectarianism, then the situation is very glaring.
Is there a possibility, however, that we put something under the umbrella of hate crime when it actually wasn't motivated by hate? For example, let's say a young man from Romania has a dispute with a young man from Belfast over, say, a bag of chips, and they are in the queue in the restaurant, and one says, "I was first in the queue," the other says, "No, I was first in the queue," and then the fella from Belfast grabs the fella from Romania by the collar and throws him out into the street. That isn't a hate crime. That's an argument over a bag of chips, but it'll be reported as a hate crime.
Well, possibly could be. However, then you have to determine whether the offence was aggravated by hostility. So, and that's where a lot of this actually falls down, because very often an offence occurs, but then proving that it was aggravated by hostility is extremely difficult. So actually, for all of those incidents that are recorded, actually it only results in about 8% of them are successfully prosecuted in court as aggravated by hostility. So you can see that there are issues and problems here. I mean, we have heard countless number of incidents where people would say, well, you know, if I hadn't been drunk, I wouldn't have done that. But is that really an excuse? Does it not indicate that, you know, there are considerable failings in our society, Frank, that actually we're not addressing these lower level issues? And don't get me wrong, I mean, we talk about them on an ascending scale. So it starts off with name calling or disparaging terms. Then it's about avoiding others because they're different from ourselves. Then it's about discriminatory practice. So we've gone through all of those, escalating until it then reaches the criminal stage where it ends up in assaults or damage or something of that nature. And these can be really serious incidents. We have seen where homes have been petrol bombed and could easily have led to fatalities. And surely our history and our recent history tells us when this sort of thing happens and gets out of control, then you don't know where it ends up.
I'm not suggesting for a moment that we don't have a serious issue. We absolutely do. But I still think if two heterosexual males were having a fight in the street and the police came along and arrested both of them, they're not going to put it under the banner of hate crime. Whereas if a heterosexual male and a gay man were having a fight in the street, the possibility is that the police will say, oh, this is a hate crime. This is a heterosexual male attacking a gay man. So it's another stat. It's another figure that says hate crime is on the rise, where it may have had nothing to do with sexuality.
Well, I appreciate you can come up with these scenarios, but you know, very often, and in our unfortunately in our communities in Northern Ireland, hate crime does exist. It's thriving, in fact, in some areas, and there is a responsibility on the criminal justice system initially to prosecute hate crimes as they are identified. However, I think there's a wider societal issue here, and that's what I'm trying to say in this report. Actually, the criminal justice system has done quite a bit. They can always do more. There's no doubt about that. And supporting victims through the prosecution process is probably one of the most important things that they can do. But actually, you know, when you talk to victims, and we did in this inspection, and it was very plain to us, they weren't always looking for a prosecutorial outcome. They just wanted this intolerance to stop. And for people to understand the consequences of their action, I don't think that's unreasonable.
Absolutely. And let's focus on the people from an ethnic minority background or those who would have a religious belief maybe different than the majority, people's sexuality, whether or not people have a disability or not, or indeed which gender people live their lives as. Those who are being targeted for any of those reasons or other reasons that maybe I don't have on my list, it must be torturous for them to understand, to believe, to have this concept of being targeted because you're in Northern Ireland and some people can't accept you as you are.
Absolutely, Frank. And you know, one of the stories recounted in the report is of a family sitting in darkness because they didn't want to put the light on to give an indication that they were at home. Such was the level of intimidation and intolerance that was being displayed towards them. That's no way to live your life.
It must be heartbreaking for the individuals, for their children, for the parents, and for those who would be maybe related to them who live elsewhere, people who have become friends with them, who almost feel uncomfortable being obviously being their friends in case they are targeted as well. Who's behind this? Is it paramilitaries that are behind it, or is it just Neanderthals?
Well, we do know that paramilitaries have been involved in this sort of practice in the past, but you know, as I said, it's a wider societal issue. You know, what I'm saying is that, you know, we do have a hate crime strategy within the criminal justice system, but until it becomes linked into the executives, TBOC, Together Building United Communities, racial equality strategy, until it becomes integrated with all of that, then we're not going to see any perceptible change, in my view. And so there is a responsibility in terms of what is the sort of society that we want to build in Northern Ireland. When, you know, if we look at migrant workers, for instance, in Northern Ireland, look at the contribution that they're making to our healthcare, to our industry, to our education, you know, to our agriculture. You know, every facet of life benefits from the involvement of individuals, you know, from different backgrounds. At increasing diversity within our society enriches us all. But if that can't be recognised, if we don't have the political leadership that is unequivocal, that is clear and consistent about how unacceptable this sort of behaviour is, until we as citizens, each one of us, starts to challenge the name-calling, the inappropriate remarks, and say, not in our name, and then start to, I suppose, put our arm around those individuals that are subject to this sort of behaviour, to make them feel, well, you know, that's not the view of the majority of people here in Northern Ireland. We welcome you here. We want to support you. You know, and so there is a whole requirement here for a whole of government approach to this, Frank. You can't just look at it and leave it to the criminal justice system, because as I said to you, every hate crime occurring in Northern Ireland is a failure for our society.
It's almost humorous listening to what you're saying, because what you're saying is correct and can't be argued with. Yet, Noel, there's this elephant in the room that our government has completely failed us at every single level of society. And here is another strand that you're talking about this morning. Our government, when we need them, they've disappeared.
It is extremely worrying at this particular point in time, because these are the fundamental building blocks upon the society that we want to develop in Northern Ireland. And it is how difference is accepted and understood. And I know we have a troubled history, absolutely. But, you know, we were given an opportunity with the Good Friday Agreement to start and rebuild our society. It's important that that work is now... really, it's been a slow start, but you know we need to make a start now, and either.
Well, we can't do it. We can't do all the things you're asking for, a joined up approach and government leadership, when we don't have an executive.
Well, absolutely, but you know, but somebody needs to do it. So I'm hoping that there is an executive. But if there isn't, then it will fall to the Secretary of State. And you know, in neighbouring jurisdictions, there is no equivocation around condemning hate crime. In Northern Ireland, that should never be the case.
Yeah. Okay, Brendan, thanks for your time this morning. Thank you. It's just gone 20 past nine. Good morning to you. 90333105. Brendan McGuigan, the Chief Inspector of Criminal Justice in Northern Ireland. It's a depressing picture, that, isn't it? So much hate. But I suppose years ago we just had all-out sectarianism. That gave everyone who wanted to vent a bit of hatred an excuse, whereas now we've got a whole raft of things that we can hate people for. Maybe things we weren't as aware of, but now, oh look, there's a queue of things there that I can hate, so let's get a bit more hatred turned up. 90333105, 077 66 105, 105. Good morning to you. Going to speak to Joe in just a second on the programme. Joe's on line three, yes. Good morning, Joe.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, Joe. What's on your mind?
Back that man up completely about the government aren't running the show here, you know. Nobody's running the show. Really, like, you know.
No arguing with that. I can't put any defence in place there at all against what you're saying. There's nobody running the show. At a time when we're in dire straits, in absolute need of leadership, if only for some guidance on Brexit, but in all the other strands of life, education, health, equality, regarding... crimes, the infrastructure of the roads, the list goes on.
Absolutely.
and on.
And the money is being pumped in to division. Dividing us, so it is. All the money, every single pound is split between the two divides. And none of us are getting a good share of it, you know.
Yeah, well, how do you feel shortchanged? I was suggesting we're all shortchanged because we don't have a government. But what way do you feel shortchanged?
I would suggest, see all them walls around the peace walls and all that there. Let's knock them down and start building homes for people that need them.
Yeah, but we've just been listening to Brendan McGuigan, the Chief Inspector of Criminal Justice in Northern Ireland. He's telling us that eight hate crimes are being reported a day. Eight hate crimes are happening a day. Now, there have been others that are happening that are never reported. Surely we're not in a position in Northern Ireland to take walls down. We should be building more walls.
I wouldn't say the hate crimes. We should be building walls for houses.
Yeah, but are you calling for peace walls to be taken down?
Peace walls to be taken down, yes.
Yeah, but... is this the right time to be taking down peace walls?
Absolutely, because they're paying for division, and there's no money being shared around everybody.
Yeah,
and people are struggling.
But
people are struggling, right? People are struggling, and to see people coming in here and taking jobs, creating jobs, and they're using the jobs. People here are not willing to work, but what they're willing to do is take money off the government and for their own communities, really. You know, we need to share it all around. We need to share every single penny shared.
Yeah, but just to go back to the peace walls, we're hearing this morning that hatred is rife in Northern Ireland. People are being targeted because of their ethnic background, their religious belief, their sexuality, their disability, their gender. And sectarianism is one of the main, I suppose, underbellies of this society. If we take away the peace walls, would we not increase the hatred?
No. Definitely not.
You know, you obviously don't live near a peace wall.
I don't live near a peace wall, but I have been brought up with division. I have travelled the world. I've worked all over the world. I was never three out of the country, any other country I was working in. And the people from them countries, they struggle too. They're actually probably struggling more than what we are.
Yeah, okay, there's a lot of points that you've made there, Joe. Opinions are very welcome. 90-333-105. Pete is going to have a conversation with us, and Pete is on line 4. Good morning, Pete. Good morning.
Well, my own personal opinion is take people as individuals. The problem is you get too many people referring, you know, to like, there's ISIS Muslims, so it's all Muslims, and it's not. I've just got new Muslim neighbours, lovely people. You know, you can't just throw everybody into the same barrel. It's totally unfair. You know, I have a wide range of friends of every walk of life, every ethnicity, and you know, the people I would be friendly with would be good people. The type of people, as you say here, would do you a good turn before they do you a bad one.
Totally. So what you're saying is that people need to get to know those who they don't normally know. The same way that in the past, some Protestants hated all Catholics, some Catholics hated all Protestants.
Oh, pure ignorance.
Get to know the darn people before you pass judgment. Secondly, if a Muslim person comes to live in your street, get to know him or her. If a gay person is hanging out with your friends, get to know the gay person.
My son's gay. He's actually he's one of the main sort of drag queens on the scene in Belfast. And you know what I mean? So I've always kept an open heart and a closed mouth first. And you know, as you say, get to know people, meet them as individuals. There's good. They always say good and bad on every side.
Absolutely, absolutely. But Pete, I can't let you go without asking you, who is your drag queen son? Where can we see him?
He's Sabrina Bewitched. He'll be on in the Sunday Bingo show on Union Street on the second, next, not this Sunday, but the following. So it is the 17th he'll be on.
I love the name, Sabrina Bewitched. That is a great name.
But the government's problem, I think I've come up with a solution, Frank.
Yes.
The main obstacles that either side are saying, well, we can't sit down to the table till this is resolved, we can't sit down to the table till that's resolved. So why don't they say, look, we've got bigger fish to fry at the minute, Brexit's happening, there's all sorts going on, so why don't we set them to the side and agree to review them in a year's time, and hopefully within that year we can come up with a solution and get their butts down to the table and get a bit of work done, get this country sorted out.
Yeah, these are very strong points, but then do they want to be associated with Brexit? And that is part of the problem, a lot of people believe. Right, we're heading towards 9:30.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105. Conversation for you.